wake up, put your shoes on, take a breath of the northern air, and rub those eyes.
It is the morning of February 11th. This is TalkNorth.com, and this is Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider. Russell Wilson is making noise. He's never done that before. Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson might be on the move. The Vikings are hiring coaches. We will get to all that today. Best way to listen to the show, any way you like, any podcast app, please rate us wherever you happen to listen to us, or you can always find all the shows and our outdoor content at TalkNorth.com. Follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod. Thanks to our sponsors, White Bear Lake Superstore and Manscaped.com. Tell you more about them in a little bit. So I find it fascinating, Jeff, as the Eagles look like they're going to trade Carson Wentz, no matter how badly it will affect them financially. It looks like the Houston Texans might be forced to trade Deshaun Watson, even though it would be a horrible move. And we've already seen quarterback movement. Russell Wilson, who has never said a negative or whiny thing in his life, is now complaining about the number of times he's gotten hit. I don't think he necessarily wants out of Seattle. I don't think Seattle's going to move him, but it is fascinating to hear him talk like that.
It really is, and I think the whole situation with quarterbacks in the NFL and a lot of this extra chatter that we hear today, I think it's in part an offshoot of the NBA in some respects.
Yeah.
Where you've got these players like Harden and that have just been able to maneuver their way out of town or make a lot of noise and or try to create these super teams, whatever the case may be, with LeBron going back. And I think the NBA has had an impact on these NFL star players, which are the quarterbacks predominantly, who feel that they should have a bigger say and be able to call the shots in the organization more. Deshaun Watson, a great example, as you said, in terms of being upset that he didn't have more say in the GM hiring of Caserio. And now Russell Wilson, who has always been on the same page with Pete Carroll and John Schneider in Seattle. But meanwhile, he has taken a lot of hits over the years and a lot of sacks. And yeah, he doesn't miss games and he knows how to go down. But even still, he's one of the most sacked quarterbacks in the league. And the Seahawks just historically have not paid a lot of attention to their offensive line. And They've done great things on defense. They've had the skill people around Russell Wilson to make them competitive. But that offensive line has always been a little bit suspect. And I think Russell is feeling, as I said, like these other quarterbacks that just want to make their statement to the team and say, hey, get me some help. I don't think he's saying I want out of Seattle. I think he's saying, hey, draft some offensive linemen.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it is interesting that each quarterback is kind of a different case. These are not all the same thing. You know, with Goff and Stafford, it was the Lions trying to rebuild, the Rams saying, we're not sure Goff is our guy. With Wentz, I really think it's Wentz just, you know, not being realistic. I mean, he had a terrible year last year. He was not the guy who won a Super Bowl for that team. He has not been good the last couple of years. I don't think he's realistic about his own abilities or the way he's performed. Watson, I think it has a lot to do with him thinking he works in a racist organization and wants out. So each guy has completely different motivations, but the common thread is they are playing a very strong hand. They are either forcing their way out or they're forcing their organizations to react to them.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think there is more of a power play than there was in the past. And so for different reasons, as you said, these quarterbacks are making their voices heard, which isn't necessarily bad. I think for some of these guys, and even going back to Stafford with Detroit and wanting out and asking out and ending up in a better situation potentially in LA. And it's just a really kind of strange time on the NFL landscape in terms of what's going on with those guys. And it's not only quarterbacks, it's guys like JJ Watt too. And that he said, I'm kind of inclined to get out of Houston too. And want to get a chance to be able to play on a championship caliber team at this point in his career. And I think the Texans will probably go along with that because JJ is a little bit overpaid at this stage of his career at about a $15 to $17 million a year deal. And I don't know if he's going to find that anywhere else out there. I think that's the interesting dynamic at work with some of these players that can you get another team to step up and pay you? I think that Kyle Rudolph is going to be a guy who's going to find that when he potentially hits the market. Now, I think his base salary is $7 to $8 million, and there may be a team willing to pick that up in a trade, but how much are the Vikings going to be able to get for a 32-year-old tight end, probably a late-round pick is what you're really looking at, which is better than nothing. And so maybe the next step will be Kirk Cousins starts complaining about the offensive line and wanting to beef up his protection, although it's hard for him to complain when Spielman and Zimmer have drafted Bradbury, O'Neal, and Cleveland a 1 and 2 twos in the last 3 years, and they've got a $14 million tackle in Riley Reiff, who will probably have to take a reduction from that, and they just really need one more piece potentially in that offensive line. So yeah, it's going to be a fascinating offseason, Jim, and I think everybody is waiting. As far as all my GM friends around the league and club personnel and executives and the agent community, we're all waiting to hear what this cap number is going to come in at for 2021. And if it drops from $200 million to $180 or one in that range, there's going to be a lot of bloodshed going on. Now, if it goes to $185, $190, a little bit less, and that's where I think it's eventually going to come in this negotiation between the Players Association and the NFL.
My next question for Jeff will be about whether he had to deal with any quarterbacks kind of making power plays when he was running the Vikings or running the Titans. I want to tell you about a couple of Talk North employees. Brandon Morton is running the board, as he always does. Karen Cleary is our top sales executive. If you would like to advertise with this show or anywhere across the network, you can reach Karen at KCLEARY@talknorth.com. This is one of our two Viking shows on the network. We also have My Conversations with John Krasinski, more of the writer's point of view. This, of course, is Jeff's executive level point of view. So did you ever have a quarterback try to force his way out or try to exert undue influence on your decisions?
No. Fortunately for me, I never did. And I think that I was fortunate to be able to work mostly with playoff caliber teams in my career and had just terrific guys that at the quarterback position and just going back to whether it was a Warren Moon or whether it was Brad Johnson and Brad certainly was in a position after the 98 season when he was the starting quarterback and then Randall Cunningham took over and Brad couldn't get his job back and Brad could have easily called and said, hey, get me out of there. He didn't, but we made the decision to trade him anyway and fortunately got a first, second, and third round pick from Washington, but he never said anything about it and he never would have. He was just such a class, great guy. And not to say that these guys like Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson aren't, it's just a different era today. And I think that there's a different, shall we say, level that players want to flex their muscles in terms of movement and so forth. It's just, and as I said, I think a lot of that has come via the NBA and what players see going on there. And so, yeah, I never had that situation. I had Steve McNair in Tennessee, again, an all-pro player and just a super, super guy and great team player. And helped lead us to a Super Bowl. So no, I never had to deal with that, fortunately, and really never had maybe one or two players over the years even said, hey, I'd like to be traded, and nobody of really any major consequence.
If you were another team other than the Eagles, would you want Carson Wentz? And if you were the Eagles, would you be trading him?
Yes, I think that Carson Wentz still has talent. I think you go back to 2017 when the Eagles won the Super Bowl and Wentz was really the main guy most of the season, as you recall, until he got hurt and then Nick Foles took over. But he was the guy that was getting it done. And at that point, he was working with Frank Reich in Philadelphia as his main guy. And so I think that when you think about Indianapolis, for example, and Reich, I think that's a great landing spot for Carson Wentz and the most logical place for him to go. And I think that'd be a lot better for Wentz than to end up in Chicago, where he would just be under enormous pressure from Bears fans. And really at this stage, based on what Wentz has done the last couple of years, how much of an upgrade is he over Mitchell Trubisky? Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. So I think Indianapolis is the place that makes the most sense for him. And if I'm running the Colts, I would definitely take a look at him and figure, hey, with Frank Reich there, I think that we can kind of recreate what was happening in Philadelphia.
And how much would you give up for him?
I think probably for a younger quarterback and taking on that big salary, you're probably looking at maybe a couple of picks, maybe a second and a third. I don't think he's a first round guy in a trade at this point, except for Indy's down the line in the first round. So they might be willing to give up their number one four starting quarterback. But I think they're going to try to play hardball and make it not quite that level and try to hang on to that number one.
Interesting. Let's thank White Bear Lake Superstore, whitebearlakesuperstore.com.
Absolutely, Jim. And always happy to talk about the White Bear Lake Superstore, Buick GMC, and my great friend, the owner, Paul Rubin, his general manager, Charlie Guttrell, their great staff, are Minnesota's number one volume Buick GMC dealer, 6 years running with the best selection and their super friendly premium team. And they have a great website, whitebearlakesuperstore.com. Check it out. There's great pricing on the first ever Buick Encore GX, stylish and nimble. You can lease it for $299 per month. There's a 0% financing for 72 months on 2021 GMC Sierra HD Denalis and $10,000 off MSRP on 2020 Buick Envisions with 0% financing for 72 months. That's the White Bear Lake Superstore.com. And the White Bear Lake Superstore is the Quigley 4x4 Van Superstore. And they're a certified elite dealer. Only 7% of GM dealers make the cut. So visit in person at 3900 Highway 61 North in White Bear Lake or online at whitebearlakesuperstore.com for all your vehicle needs and the premium experience. Buick GMC, we are professional grade.
Also, remember, we have a deal over at the John Krasinski Show on Manscaped, manscaped.com, male grooming. I've used it. It's called the Lawnmower 3.0. Very easy, very convenient, very comfortable. If you would like to get 20% off plus free shipping, use the promo code ATHLETIC, promo code ATHLETIC at manscaped.com. Highly recommend it. Let's get some Vikings issues now. They have officially hired Clint Kubiak. I think we all saw that coming. They've also brought in Keaton McCardle as a receivers coach. He's very highly thought of. What's your view of this organization's coaching staff right now?
Well, I think it's, as you said, very expected that Clint Kubiak got the job. And I think the positive there is that he keeps the system intact that Cousins has been very successful in the last 2 years, by and large, except for a few occasions at crunch time that are well documented, as we know. But I think that's a good thing, especially when you look at the talent on that team, with Dalvin Cook as one of the top running backs in the league and being able to run the ball like they can and with the zone blocking scheme. So keeping those things intact is good, especially in a situation where it appears that we may be headed for a second straight off-season with no off-season program except for virtual, and which I don't think is good news for the NFL. I don't think it's good news for young players around the league, and I think it's especially damaging for the Vikings in terms of the young secondary players, the young corners, the Dantzlers and Gladneys, that they really want to work with these guys and Chris Boyd and so forth. Just I think it really hurts their cause in terms of developing these players, and it appears that the Players Association is going to stand firm and try to get a no off-season program. I guess it doesn't hurt when the president of the Players Association, the senator from Cleveland, is about a 10-11 year vet who doesn't mind having no off-season program. But anyway, be that as it may. And yeah, so Kubiak, not unexpected, although I know there was a certain Star Trip columnist who's accusing the Vikings of nepotism.
Yes, I actually read that, and that's why I like the Star Tribune. They actually tell the truth sometimes.
Exactly, and yeah, it is an interesting line of thought, and I certainly understand where you're coming from, Jim, when you talk about that, in terms of, do you have to be a coach's son to get a job in the NFL these days? And even though they did hire, they're going to hire this Alabama defensive secondary coach, Carl Scott, to replace Durante Jones, and I don't think there's a connection there. No. But Paul Gunther, who they've announced coming in to take Dom Capers' place as a defensive kind of strategist, assistant, senior assistant, he's another Zimmer guy out of Cincinnati who worked for him with the Bengals and most recently was a defensive coordinator with the Raiders, who struggled last year in Vegas. But Paul Gunther coming in to take on that position, that I'm not sure Dom Capers had a real big influence on what was going on in defense last year, or he certainly doesn't want to put that on his resume with what happened with the Vikings defensively. But yeah, Gunther's coming, and Quinn Kubiak, I think it's a good move, but we'll see. I think the good news there is that we know that he can also lean on his dad for some input and advice if needed.
Right. The move is all about comfort and continuity and all that. I think those are bad reasons to make that kind of a hire, but I certainly understand. I know Zimmer's taking one last shot here, and you know that's going to be the theme of this show, and we're going to be talking about this, the theme of this season, and we're going to be talking about it on this show a lot, is this feels like, you know, it's like one more shot for Zimmer, Spielman, Cousins as a group to kind of prove themselves. You know, I think a bad year and they're out. I think a good year, they might get bigger contract extensions. I think this is a really pivotal year.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that, well, there's pressure every year, as we know, in professional sports and in the NFL. But yeah, I think that this year, coming off the 7-9, and with the expectation of getting a lot of injured guys back on defense, getting guys like Pierce, who had opted out, and Danielle Hunter and Eric Kendricks missed the last four or five games, and figuring out what they're going to do with Barr. So, but defensively, they should be better with the young guys improving. And so offensively, if they can keep pace and if Cousins can be a little more productive in crunch time in some of the critical games that he wasn't last year, such as the Bears game that was really ended up being the game that crushed their playoff hopes, then I think that they'll have a chance to be a playoff team, and I really expect them to be a playoff team next year, this coming season. I think that's going to be the case. I think, again, talking about these off-season issues, that's going to be really interesting to follow in the next few weeks, as that kind of negotiation occurs between the management council of the league and the Players Association, and again, the salary cap discussion and how that plays out. And meanwhile, there was a Super Bowl, Jim.
Yeah, I guess we should talk about the Super Bowl. You know, not a great game. And for me, as someone who loves watching Patrick Mahomes and doesn't necessarily love watching Tom Brady, it wasn't the most fun experience to watch it. I really think that the Bucs outcoached the Chiefs by a wide margin. And I really thought and I've said this on other shows too, some of the best analysis after the game came from Steve Young. He was like, so you don't have an offensive line. You're the Chiefs. You don't have an offensive line. At least in terms of pass protection, your running back averages 7 yards a carry. You only give it to him 9 times. You kept on having these deep drops where Mahomes had to run away from an excellent defensive pass rush, and they never adapted. They never kept in extra blockers. They never went to the quick hitters and short stuff over the middle. And as Steve Young said, if they had just recognized what the defense was doing to him and said, we're going to take these 5 to 8 yard gains over and over and over underneath and running the ball, they could have held the ball. They could have driven the ball. They could have scored more points. They could have controlled the game. Instead, they kept going for the home run, and the home run was not there to be made.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that was a great analysis that of the situation, that I really was waiting for them to keep extra blockers in or help out or go to more of the jet sweeps or the quick flanker screens to Tyreek Hill, and never really happened in the game. And you just wonder, Jim, how much the impact of Andy Reid's son's accident had on that whole coaching staff and that whole preparation and on Andy's state of mind that day, because you know that there's some big issues ahead that they're going to have to deal with. And obviously he's a pro and he can try to separate, but that's pretty tough when it's your kid that's involved. And it just didn't seem like the Chiefs, they just didn't seem like they were there, not the same team that we've seen for the last 2 years. And it was really kind of a bizarre performance. And meanwhile, you have to appreciate what Brady was able to accomplish at 43 years old, and Gronk having a great game, and just Devin White and Levante David. You talk about a lot of that short stuff. They had a big impact on that, too. David was all over Travis Kelce, making some great plays, and Kelce with uncharacteristic drop. And so it was just a really kind of a strange game, as you said, and not real exciting. And I think the league was hoping for a lot more. And I think so were the viewers on watching around the world. And it just was a disappointing Super Bowl from that standpoint. But personally, I was happy for Tyler Johnson, our IFA client, had an exciting rookie season, was productive when he had his opportunities. Antoine Winfield, the former Gopher, had an interception in this game, made some big plays. And so I think from that standpoint, and we have another IFA guy, Will Golston, who is one of the defensive line rotation for the Bucks. So we were happy to see the Bucks win, but yeah, it was not a great game. But I think the Chiefs will be back. That offensive line, when you're missing your starting tackles, and they had one of their other guys opted out, a starting guard from the Super Bowl team the year before. So you're really missing 60% of your starting offensive line from the previous Super Bowl. I think in a lot of ways they're similar to what the Vikings were on defense this year. They'll get those guys back, and they could be a lot different and a lot better next year. And we know Mahomes is going to bounce back. It was just a tough day for him too. He was just on his heels the whole day.
Well, he also made about five throws. He made two throws that hit his receivers in the hands in the end zone and were dropped. One wasn't an easy catch, but it's a catch Tyreek Hill usually makes anyway. The other one was to the running back in the end zone. He made about five ridiculous throws that his teammates didn't look for or dropped. His game could have looked a lot different if he had a little more help.
Yeah, and that's definitely true. And as you said, if they'd run the ball a little more, done some more creative things offensively, it just really kind of a mess that the Chiefs were last Sunday.
Yes. I do wish that the Bucks had not signed Antonio Brown, and I think Tyler Johnson would have made the same caliber of plays and had the same level of production as Antonio Brown. I know Brady wanted to, you know, load the offensive roster up as much as he could. I think Tyler Johnson could have done everything Antonio Brown did for that team.
Yeah, and I think that will be one of the interesting situations when the salary cap gets decided, and the Bucks have several guys that they need to address. Shaq Barrett, they're a great pass rusher, is a potential free agent. So I don't know why, for the amount of production they got out of Antonio Brown, I don't know why they'd want to be paying him what he's going to demand, which is probably going to be in the 10 million plus range. And knowing him, they'll probably ask for 20 million, try to be where the top receivers are, and it's just not going to happen for him. And so I think that they would be well served by just saying, hey, thank you, Antonio, for the limited performance this year. Move on. And yeah, let Tyler take that role. And I think that'd be great. I'd be happy with that.
Last thing for today, once again, thank you to White Bear Lake Superstore, whitebearlakesuperstore.com. Reminder, manscaped.com. The promo code is athletic for 20% off and free shipping. Thanks again to Brandon. I'm wondering, Antoine Winfield Jr. had a really good, you know, I think he had a really good season, although it's really interesting that a lot of the analytics people really kind of ripped on him all year. Every time I watched a Bucks game, I thought he was either just doing his job or he would actually occasionally make a spectacular play. I think he helped him really win that night game at the Giants early in the season with an incredible play going across the field, had an interception in the Super Bowl. What do you think the high end on Antoine Winfield Jr. is? Is this a star in the making, or is it just a good solid player?
I think he's a potential star. I really do. I think that he's got the athletic ability, the speed, the instincts, obviously having grown up in a football family with his dad, I think that he is a playmaker. And that's what you're looking for in the NFL. You're looking for playmakers in the secondary, guys like Harrison Smith that the Vikings have, Anthony Harris, who was that 2 years ago, not last year. And that's what you want your safety to be versatile. You can move them up and down, in the box, out of the box, play deep. And he's got all those abilities and just has to stay healthy and keep developing. And again, for a guy like him, having no offseason doesn't help him this year to continue his development. And if that's indeed the case, that there's no offseason program. And so I hope for guys like him, for guys like Cam Dantzler and Jeff Gladney, DJ Wanham, Cleveland, guys like that here that were in that rookie class last year, along with Winfield and Tyler Johnson, those kind of guys, two straight years with no offseason program is not helpful for them.
No, you're right, it isn't. And we'll get into the Vikings offseason, what we should expect here coming up, salary cap stuff, Riley Reiff, we'll get into all of that in future editions of Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider. We do appreciate everyone who listens to the show and everyone who listens to the network. We continue to grow, and you are the reason for that. Thank you so much. If you like the show, tell people about it. And feel free to rate us wherever you happen to listen to us. So for Jeff Diamond, for Brandon Morton, I'm Jim Suhan. Thanks for listening.